With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think a lot of people in the media and so-called, you know, hockey experts and analysts were probably picking Edmonton as well. So we kind of felt like the underdog in that series. So, you know, it's a cool role to play. I think it's exciting for our team when everyone's kind of counting you out and no one's really giving you a chance. So, you know, like Johnny said, I think Vegas is a really good hockey team. Just from watching them in games here during their round robin, they're very detailed, very structured. And it's going to be a tough test for us. And I think we know that as a team. So we know we really need to stick to our game plan and play that way. But I think all of us in our locker room are excited about the challenge and excited about the underdog role.
That's Patrick Kane. Doesn't he sound excited? Yeah, Vegas is pretty good. They're the top seed for a reason, and they're deep. They roll a bunch of lines at you, but hey, Hawks have made it this far. Why not? It's hockey. Anything can happen. Puck luck and everything else that's creating variance these days. Charlie Romeliotis is on Twitter, at Charlie Romeliotis. I don't know who'd steal that Twitter handle from him. He is NBC Sports Chicago's Blackhawks insider. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Charlie, how are you?
Good morning, Dan. And for the record, I want to give Patrick Kane a little bit of behind the curtain. I predicted the Blackhawks in five games, so I am not part of those so-called hockey media experts that picked against them.
Well, and the one person at NHL.com, I want to say 15 of their 16 experts picked Edmonton, and one person thought the Blackhawks could do it. But what do you take away from the Oilers series that you think is real and sustainable and something that the Blackhawks can actually hang their hat on as doing well and continuing to do well?
Well, I think the emergence of Kirby Dach has really given the Blackhawks two pretty solid top two lines. And I think the most encouraging part about that Edmonton series is they beat the Oilers in four games, and Patrick Kane wasn't nearly at his best. Alex DeBrincat wasn't at his best, and Corey Crawford wasn't at his best for the first three games. And he kind of turned back into Corey Crawford for game four, but we don't know, you know, what is he turning a corner? Is he going to start to look like Corey Crawford going forward, or was it just a fluky game? So I think it's encouraging that they won and they weren't really near their best as a team. And we saw, you know, Jonathan Toews' line obviously had a nice breakout game, and the power play scored three goals in the first game. So I think there was bits and pieces to like, but this is a very different Vegas team where they throw four lines at you, and the Edmonton Oilers were all about staying out of the penalty box and containing Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl at even strength. But the Vegas Golden Knights will make you pay on every single line, so it's important that the Blackhawks don't just get contributions from their top two lines in this series. They have to get it from their bottom six as well.
I want to correct your Twitter handle, by the way. It's capital C, Romeliotis, at C, Romeliotis. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate that. I'm going to point the finger, not the thumb on that.
Jay's looking out for us.
Yeah, right. The Blackhawks' approach to their defensive pairings has got to be a little bit different now, considering you can't just target that top line. You can't just look at, well, we can't let Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl beat us, and we're going to have Toews on the ice, and we're just going to match up there with a back check and protect everybody. How would you spread out and just make sure that they get depth of defense against, like you say, these waves of skill?
Yeah, it's going to be of certainly a storyline to follow in this matchup, because it's easy, you know, especially as the home team for the Blackhawks, like they were in games three and four, you know, you get to play those matchups and you get to put out the defensive pairings that you want against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And for the majority of that series, you know, the Blackhawks really wanted their shutdown pairing of Calvin Hahn and Connor Murphy out there. And we also saw something towards the late, you know, usually towards the third period, where Adam Boqvist didn't see a lot of ice time. And so Duncan Keith was out there with Connor Murphy. He was out there You know, Murphy was out there with Calvin DeHaan. The Mata Kuku pairing was out there. So, obviously Adam Boqvist is he's on a slower progression than Kirby Dach. We're seeing this huge emergence from Kirby Dach and taking this next step in the postseason. And Adam Boqvist is, his progression is maybe a little bit slower. So I think it's something to monitor how they're going to play these matchups, against a four-line team like the Vegas Golden Knights, where you can't really hide a guy like Adam Boqvist. You're going to need all those six players going, especially if you're, trying to protect a lead in the third period.
The Mata Kuku pairing is fascinating to me. Kuku's playing better, and Mata, he giveth and he taketh away, because he does have a real understanding and a veteran's knack for trying to make up for his inability to skate. And he's solid on the offensive end, but I'm just nervous every time that we're going to have a blow by when he's out there.
It's really strange. Like, if you look at the analytics, they're one of the best. They've been one of the top pairings for the Blackhawks since they got put together on a line or on a pairing, early, what was it, February? And so it's really strange, because you don't look at those guys as possession drivers or even on the flip side, defensive stalwarts back there, but they're getting the job done. And it was funny to see, Olli Maatta scoring back-to-back games, and Slater Cuckoo, I think, had a point in three of those four games against Edmonton. And so they're getting the job done. And I think if you're a Hawks fan, you're trying to stay hopeful that can carry over to the Vegas series, because if that pairing isn't going, and then you have Adam Boqvist, who's maybe a little bit struggling against a Vegas team that can come at you a wave, then I guess it could get a little bit dicey. And that's where you're really going to need Corey Crawford to be at his best.
I heard some comments from Jonathan Toews that were, I don't know if they were a little coy regarding what they know about Robin Lehner if they see him. What I know about Robin Lehner is he's unconventional and sometimes aggressive and coming out at weird angles and body positions to just sort of smother pucks. I also know when things aren't going well for him, the rebound control is an issue. And what the Hawks did well in that last series was, even with Duncan Keith out there, getting the puck on the net, getting it through defenders' legs, getting it to the net. I love greasy goals. As Andrew Shaw once said, I love shin pads. And when you start, when not everything has to be pretty, when not everything has to be tic-tac-toe to an open half of the net, Lehner will give you some of those opportunities.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of the Blackhawks score a lot of those greasy goals against the Oilers. And, Matthew Highmore scored a few of them, and Dominic Kubalik scored a few of them, and even Jonathan Toews, that game-winning goal, where he scored with a minute and 16 seconds left. I know he, it went off his shin pad, or it went off Ethan Bear's stick, and then off Jonathan Toews. But you get rewarded if you go to those dirty areas, and I think it's crucial against a Vegas team that has Robin Lehner in that, because he's a big goaltender, and you need to take away his eyes. And unfortunately for the Blackhawks, there are no shootouts, so they don't have an advantage in this area. But Robin Lehner is obviously, he's one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, and they acquired him for a reason, especially, going into this postseason. So I don't really know, to be honest with you, who has an advantage. Pete DeBoer was talking about it the other day, that he was picking Leonard's brain on what to look out for against Chicago. And apparently Lehner, singled out Dominic Kubalik, who's got an underrated shot. And so I think the Blackhawks obviously know how, I don't want to say they know how to solve him or beat him, but they know his tendencies, and I think they just have to take his eyes away in front of the net.
Weird question. Who's the Blackhawks' number two goalie?
Well, let's hope we don't have to find out, right?
Yeah, but I know maybe it's a given game, or maybe, but it happens sometimes. And the fact that Corey Crawford is recovering from COVID-19, who knows? It's just something I would like to know who's next.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Vegas handles it too, because there's a back-to-back in this series, and maybe Vegas has the luxury of going to Marc-Andre Fleury for the second of a back-to-back, or, the three games in four nights kind of thing. And the Blackhawks can't afford that, right? Like, I think, obviously Malcolm Subban has been backing up Crawford, so it makes it seem like he would be the next guy in line. But, Colin Dealey is really the guy that has gotten more reps over the last few years, because he's been in Rockford as the starter. But Malcolm Subban is obviously maybe a little bit more ahead of the curve as far as NHL experience and serving as the backup for Vegas for 3 years and even during their Stanley Cup run too. So he's, maybe he's been a part of something like this where he's been a run and been in the locker room for something like this. But boy, oh boy, if the, if you know, if Corey Crawford, for whatever reason, can't go, like gets injured or whatever, like the Blackhawks are in trouble.
How would you rate the job that Jeremy Colliton has done so far?
Pretty solid. And, you know, what I've always said about Jeremy Colliton, he's not afraid to make the tough decisions, right? Like earlier in the season, he healthy scratched Brent Seabrook twice. He healthy scratched Dylan Strome. And, he's not afraid to make those difficult decisions, but it's so difficult as a young coach where you're coming into a locker room where you have multiple Stanley Cup winners and they're looking at you as, you know, someone that has never been a head coach in the league and trying to prove himself. And he's trying to prove that, you know, I want to put the best lineup on the ice to win. And I think he's still learning as far as in-game matchups. I think we've seen maybe he sticks with a line too much, or if a line isn't going, like, you know, even Alex Nylander, I know, hasn't been the best trade for the Blackhawks, but sometimes he gets a little bit of a longer leash, and, you know, he's playing some of those top 6 minutes earlier in the year. And so I still think he's feeling that process out, but I think he did a good job against the Edmonton Oilers, and I think he deserves some credit for at least the way he tried to handle some of those matchups going into the series.
What can he do to get Patrick Kane going? Because generally where Kane has performed well against the Oilers, they closed down space on him relatively quickly. They didn't give him the room to operate. Even when he'd sort of, you know, curl and wait for the late man, his typical, or try to get to the perimeter to buy himself some space to skate around people, he couldn't do any of it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, Kane averaged a point per game in that Edmonton series, and we're like, he wasn't even noticeable. You know, he wasn't even great.
Right.
And so I think that's what makes Patrick Kane so great, too. Like, even on his off nights, he's still at least producing points-wise. But, yeah, he certainly wasn't one of those guys that were jumping out on the screen like Jonathan Toews and Dominic Kubalik and Kirby Dach. And it's going to be interesting to see how they handle the lines going forward. Like, because Alex DeBrincat wasn't very noticeable either, but you know, except for that game two when they got put on the line with Doc, Kane, and DeBrincat, the three of them. And so we'll have to see. Obviously, with Dylan Strome on the third line, too, you kind of wonder, like, Strome plays well with DeBrincat and Kane as well. And so how do you divvy up that ice time? And I do think once they get the power play going a little bit, like, we'll see some confidence with Patrick Kane. But he's the kind of guy where he puts the puck in the net, and he's going to be buzzing around the rest of the game. So if he can get an early couple goals, I guess, in some of these games, and Patrick Kane is at his best, I think the Blackhawks, it obviously clearly gives the Blackhawks a better shot at winning.
I love the Kirby Dach story. I love watching this big kid start to realize his superpowers a little bit. It's like the montage in the superhero movie. I say, I can do this, and I can also do this. Wow, I can shoot a web out of my wrist. I can climb walls. Ha ha! How awesome is this? That's kind of how it feels to me here. And then he's starting to surprise himself perhaps a little bit. He looks big and fast and strong and smart and. And I'm not going to put an upside cap on this guy right now. Go get it. You know, go show it in a playoff series right here. Be the reason for the upset.
Yeah, honestly, the reason why the Blackhawks, a big reason why they drafted him third overall was because of the way he handled the playoffs last year in juniors. And he said every single team targeted him on a nightly basis because he was the top player playing in all situations. And not only did he take it, Stan Bowman said that they realized he also gave it back. And I think we're seeing that now. Even going into training camp this year, you can just see it. The first couple of days, you're like, holy cow, like Kirby Dach looks bigger. He looks stronger. He looks more like skating with more confidence. And then you're like, are our eyes deceiving us? Are we just trying to see what we want to see? And then you see, you know, what he does in the first series against the Edmonton Oilers. And you're like, holy cow, like this guy truly feels like he does belong in the NHL. And he's not just trying to survive anymore. He really is trying to make an impact and be a top player for the Blackhawks. And we see that because the coaching staff really did give him a significant amount of more responsibility than they did in the regular season, where he's getting power play time. He's getting much, you know, top six even strength minutes. And also he's on that first power play unit. And I think anytime you are the ice time leader among forwards and it's not Patrick Kane, well, then you're clearly doing something right. And the coaching staff is taking notice of that.
I guess what I'm saying is you want to be the guy in that jersey now. If you're showing up to watch a game somewhere, if you're showing up socially distant with friends to watch a game outside somewhere, you're going to look smart if you got the Kirby Doc jersey. And this is best of seven too. So the psychology of the series is going to feel a little different, right?
Yeah, it certainly is. Obviously, you know, going into the five game series, it really felt like game one was close to a must win, given, you know, the statistics of, but, you know, obviously that it's different in the past because those best of five series you were traveling. And so this was obviously a little bit different because they were in the same hub, but yeah, certainly, you know, I don't know if that plays to the Blackhawks' favor that it's a seven game series and not a five game series. Maybe, you know, if you lose game one, it's not the end of the world, or, you know, you even fall behind 2-0. It's not the end of the world because, you know, the Blackhawks of the dynasty era, obviously, you know, they had a lot of those comebacks, and I know this is a different team, but psychologically, when you have Duncan Keith and Crawford and Kane and Taze in that locker room, keep having this calming presence. You know, I feel like we saw it in the Edmonton series where the leadership really stepped up too, and both on the ice and off the ice.
Charlie, really good stuff. Always enjoy having you on.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.